out of sight.
All right. Hello again, fellow ambassadors of the future. I am your old dear friend, Rocky, and this is the Complete Sentences podcast. Oh, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to try something new tonight. Kenny, you know him and you love him, Kenny Minikiller, contacted me earlier in the week, and he said that he wanted to bring on his friend Captain Steve. Captain Steve came on, and this is a dude that really needed to talk, you could tell. He's got some problems going on in his life with his marriage, he's unsure of a lot of things, and I was happy to give him a forum to speak his mind and possibly reach the other part of his party here. And maybe they'll listen to reason a little bit. Who knows? Before we get into that, let's get all this other shit out of the way. Let's start by talking about today's sponsor. That's right, today's sponsor, kiddies. This episode of CSP is brought to you by my good friends at FearShop.com. Now, before I finish this advertisement, I must let you know that FearShop.com isn't paying me anything. That just goes to show you how much I really dig their site and how highly I think of the guys that run the place. They're pretty decent guys. Let me just double check. I believe it is a one-stop. Yes, it is. It's a one-stop shop for anything that you could want, horror memorabilia-wise, metal merchandise. They got band tees. They got bracelets. They got caps and frisbees. They got posters. They even have zombie garden gnomes. These are pretty cool, man. They're little garden gnomes that are zombified, and they're popping out of the ground, and, you know, they look really awesome. Also, on the site, they have a podcast, the Fear Shop Horror Podcast. They talk about a lot of stuff. They talk about a lot of horror movies. It's a pretty awesome show. If you're into anything like that, you should check it out. Fearshop.com. Go there, click the link, tell them CSP sent you, and that'll be great. Okay, and what else can I bore you with before we get to the main part of the show? Well, I guess, of course, if you haven't already, please rate and subscribe to us on iTunes. That would be a huge help. And then all the other good stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Ty and Rocky K. You can send us pics of your dog. You can send us pics of your uncle. You can send us pics of your lunch before you eat it. Maybe if you're at a park or something and you want everyone on the internet to know about it, you know, send it to us. That would be cool. Also, Ty has finally landed in Germany. I think he's been there for about a week or so. He started posting pictures. It looks amazing. He posted a pic of his first half liter of German beer. So, I think he's doing pretty good. We're still going to have him on coming up pretty soon. We haven't really pulled the strings on it yet, but if anybody has any questions or comments or well wishes for Ty, send them to CompleteSentencesPod@gmail.com. And there's a good chance that he might even respond. I think he's probably still as Hollywood as he was when he was here. But there's a good chance if you send him an email, he'll send you a response. Or at least have Rodrigo do it. Although he doesn't really have as much power over Rodrigo, I think he could probably still manage to get him to send you an email from him. Okay, cool. So on that note, let's get into this show tonight. Let's get into it, man. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, earlier in the week, Kenny Minikiller contacted me about doing a podcast, which was, okay, yeah, it's always a pleasure, Kenny. Absolutely. Well, he told me that his longtime friend, Captain Steve, wanted to come on as well. I didn't really know if there was a reason for it, aside from just having a couple buddies to listen to you and chat. It turns out that Captain Steve had recently separated with his wife, and he was kind of in a state of confusion. He didn't really, this is a guy that really needed to talk. So, yeah, absolutely. Kenny, bring him down. Let's do it. One of the things about having a podcast is you'll find out that you will be talking with a lot of strangers, and you have about an hour to really dig deep with this person and kind of find out where they are, like, on a personal level as a human being. So it can be kind of challenging, also a little bit awkward, you know. So Captain Steve comes into the studio, and immediately we have to do what men do whenever they first meet each other. You know, we kind of like are scoping each other out a little bit. Go into the feats of strength immediately. Several arm wrestling matches we had. They all led to a draw. I don't know why we didn't keep going, but we left it at that. From there, we watched some Spike TV for a while. A lot of girls in bikinis. That was cool. We went outside, popped the hood on my car, tinkered around with the alternator a little bit, cracked open a beer. We wiped our hands on a lot of rags. Did that for a while. Sat on a lawn chair, told people to stay off the grass. Came back in, played with some Transformers for a little bit. And then we had a couple more beers. And by the time all that was said and done, Captain Steve was ready to open up about how he really felt. And I'm going to cut right to the chase, as Steven Spielberg used to always say when he was directing me in the film Jurassic Park. The story that Captain Steve paints for us here is heartbreaking. It's beautiful. It's a saga, all right? It's a love trilogy here. He goes on to tell us about how this relationship has been built with him and his wife, and the love and the respect and the good times and the bad times, and she got him out of jail time and all of this stuff, and now all of a sudden she's gone, and it sounds like she's been brainwashed by a gypsy, and she's living in a trailer, all of these things. I'll let Captain Steve talk about it, because obviously he knows more about it than all of us. I'm looking at it the same way all you listeners are, from an outsider's perspective. I'm sitting here listening to Kenny try to help his friend hash out this relationship problem, possibly move on, possibly get her back. We don't know. I mean, it's a saga. And I hope to hear more from Captain Steve after all is said and done. But most importantly, I hope this podcast helps just to kind of create a platform for Captain Steve to speak his mind, which I believe we did. So that being said, let's get into it. Right now.
Let's talk about some real stuff.
All right.
Relationships.
Yeah, all right, sure. Well, what do you got, man?
Bro code, right? No, I don't want to be the guy that starts off with what do you have.
Oh,
it looks like Kenny's an important motherfucker that has a phone call in the middle of this.
Somebody should know. She has no idea.
Who is she?
That I am on Complete Sentences podcast.
Who is she? And
I'm hitting reject.
Who is she?
She's an old friend.
Old friend?
Well, not old friend, but like
middle-aged friend?
Younger than me, friend.
Younger than you, friend.
By a couple of years.
Yeah. But, is she hot?
She's not unattractive, but she's not particularly attractive. She's kind
Does
of
she
homely.
Have a big ass?
No.
Does she wear yoga
she's
pants?
She's actually asexual.
Does she wear yoga pants?
She's actually quite asexual and
fucking freak. Does she wear yoga pants?
She's a junkie. I'm not talking to her.
What's up? What's up? Does she wear yoga pants?
No, she doesn't.
Oh, well, fuck her then.
So where are we at on relationships, man? You obviously got something to say. Let's hear what you got, dude.
I'll get there. I will get there. I'm so confused. I just I'll get there. Yeah, I don't know. Fuck all that, but I'll tell you my story.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
I've had the fairy tale storybook wedding. It's been some ups and downs, of course, like anything else. But for the most part, I thought that I had somebody that would be my soulmate for life. We've been married, I guess it'll be 7 years, September 22nd. And we've been together about 8. It's a good chunk of my youth. I'm 28 now. Met her when I was 20. Wasn't even legally, you know, old enough to drink in a bar. yeah, fuck you. So, I mean, like, the last year, I don't know, since about March, we moved into this new house. We'd both been kind of depressed. You know, but there's light at the end of the tunnel.
What was the depression stemming from?
I don't know, man. Just both of us get bummed out in the wintertime. Both of us get bummed out in the wintertime, and
you don't
really like the house we're in, and you know, so
was
forth.
It sort of maybe like an Amityville Horror type situation where not necessarily that it's haunted, but it's a house that's bringing you down?
Sure, sure. Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. And
I think it was, man.
We went to
sewage backing up everywhere.
Yeah, that was a mess. Sort of what,
and she came downstairs, and it was
there.
He spelled catch him and kill him on the fridge.
Yeah.
It was the
no. So, okay. We went to her cousin's wedding out in Montana here. I guess it's been about a month and some change, maybe a month or 2 weeks at the most.
Her cousin's hot, by the way.
Yeah, Kenny had hooked up with her cousin at one point.
I tried many
moons ago. So, being the guy I am, I wanted my wife to have a good time. I had to come back and take care of responsibilities, dogs and, you know, bills and so forth. I let her stay against my better judgment. Stay back in Montana, give her a little cash, said to have a good time.
And how long of a time frame was this that you left and she stayed?
Well, she's been gone about a month.
And when did you find out that her intentions were to stay without you? When did you find out?
Well, I mean, that day, you know, it was like, I was like, yeah, stay here, have a good time. Here's a little bit of money. Just come back home to me. You know, we have stuff to take care of. She calls me every day, you know, for a while. Well, actually, I didn't hear from her for 3 days. Actually, when I was getting this tattoo, for some reason or another, I was symbolizing something in my life. I wasn't sure quite what it was, but something. She called me the day, the minute that I was getting this, and she said, everything's good, you know, I love you, I miss you, kind of stuff. A couple days go by. She's staying out in the middle of nowhere, living off the grid with this gypsy chick. And this gypsy chick has been stepping on my toes the whole time I was out in Montana.
Well, how did
it? Like, hold on. She was off. Let your wife stay longer. Let your wife stay longer. Myself and her cousin, my wife's cousin, were like, you know, you need to go home and take care of business.
Did she look like a gypsy?
Yes. So I let her stay against my better judgment. And like I'm getting at here, she calls me, you know, a few days after the tattoo and, I love you, baby. You're my soulmate, my best friend. I really need to come home, crying to me, flipping out on me because I was hanging out with this female friend of mine, Kayla. I guess you remember her, Kenny. And then, I guess, after I told her, I was like, hey, you knew the deal when I left. I couldn't get you a ticket home if you didn't come home with me right here, right now. Okay, you know, it's all good. I didn't hear from her for like 5 days, and I started pushing. Started texting her friend, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to come out there and get her ass. What's up? She calls me and says she wants a divorce, and she's not in love with me. So from Saturday to Wednesday, somehow somebody that's been in my life 8 years has mysteriously fallen out of love with me, and everything that she's ever said to me has been changed, and I'm still dealing with that.
I think the gypsy chick brainwashed her, man.
Well, no doubt there was some external influence there. Well, that of probably a toxic single female that her life is absolute misery. And my wife suffers from bipolar disorder. And she's a very influenceable and impressionable person. And she also has the biggest heart you'd ever see, except towards me right now for some reason. So there are people that have came into her life and taken advantage of her. And milked her for everything that she can give and do, and typically they have a falling out, and it's disastrous. But you know, I don't know what to say. I don't want to be enemies with this gypsy chick, but at the same time, I know that there's some influence there. And
well, my question is here, just like
probably, she's shitting in a bucket and living in a broken down RV, talking about building an Earthship instead of the woman that I know that wants to go shopping and blow all my money and get her ass licked. Something's up.
Right. Okay. Well, my question is probably like most of the listeners, this is my first time hearing this story too.
Sure, sure.
Of all the character involvement.
Thanks for talking about it. I apologize.
No, that's okay. Where did the gypsy chick come into play? Was she going to Montana to visit this friend?
Montana for her cousin's wedding. The gypsy chick was a bridesmaid in the wedding.
And they just kind of became friends there?
They became friends. My wife has a history of becoming intense. Meeting someone new. Having an intense, irrational, probably over-the-top bond with somebody from the get-go. My wife will, you know, when she finds somebody who likes her and gives her attention, will basically do anything in the world for this person, thinking that it's a genuine, sincere friendship of some sort. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times she gets taken advantage of. And she might wake up 6 months down the road, hey, babe, you're right, this person's a piece of shit. She might have a falling out with them that, you know, leads into a physical fight. But typically she comes around on these kind of people that take advantage of her. Or she forms this bond with them that's so intense and so fucking weird that 2-3 months down the road, you know, this new person knows their life story. And shit gets weird.
So where do you foresee yourself being whenever she comes around? Are you
still going to be... Like, the game plan right now, and that's as of today, I'm going to stay here. I was moving to Fort Collins, Colorado, like, tomorrow. But I'm going to stay here and finish college here in St. Louis. And when I get my financial aid check in September, I am going to take her dogs, my dogs, our dogs, and some of her more desired possessions out to her in Montana. And I'm going to try to appeal to her heart one last fucking time. I've done a lot for her since she's been gone. Probably put up a lot more bullshit and done a lot more things materialistically and emotionally than most people would, you know, cut the line off a long time ago. My friends and her family, male and female, have all told me, you can do better, fuck you, or fuck her, rather. She's screwing you over, she's manipulating you, she's using you, and it's just... It's all a big shocker, because my wife grew up in the Jehovah's Witness religion, actually. And I've always looked at her as somebody with a, you know, good set of morals and ethics. And everything is just... drastically change, and it's
like the gypsy chick is kind of filling her head with lies, and
I don't know what's going on there, dude. Some kind of I honestly don't, but definitely, you know, her own family members. I'm not going to say any names because I guess this will probably end up on Facebook. But her own family is, you know, saying, "Hey, the person she's with is self-centered and fueling her ego, and using her to her advantage, and they have similar personalities, so just kind of fueling each other into."
There's going to eventually be some kind of conflict or like, they're going to butt heads somewhere. Yeah,
definitely. She's going to be
stuck in the middle of nowhere then. Yeah.
And, you know, usually I've been the kind of guy, my wife has not really been able to hold down a stable job since I've known her. The longest time was a year and a half, and everything else has been much, much shorter. I've been the same way, but because I've been in the IT industry, it's been contract-based work. So, you know, I could have a job for 3 months or 6 months. Life's good. We go out and finance cars and homes, whatever. And then it's unemployment. We lose everything. But with her, it's just she has a breakdown. She doesn't want to go to work. You know, it tears on her emotionally and spiritually. I've always been the guy to say, okay, you know, quit your job. We'll figure this out. She doesn't have that now. She doesn't have a place to live. She doesn't have a car. And she has no income.
Captain Steve, I think as long as you're behind her as much as you can be up until the point where it's just like your absolute breaking point where you just can't do it anymore, I think that's the right thing to do. And I think
that's where I'm at. I think you're going down the right. I'm supporting her as much as I can. You're going the right way. I'm not sending her money anymore. I totally just spent $136 on her phone today.
Yeah.
Because she broke a phone the other day. And after she lost the phone and lost her
cutting. And it's ridiculous, like, if she's going to be, like...
She's throwing a lot away.
If she's cutting herself off from you, she is.
She's cutting herself off from a lot of shit.
She should be more independent and be able to take care of that herself.
She's not. She's bumming off people and using people, and it's really unfortunate because she has a lot to offer.
And it's like you said, she's kind of manipulating you, but, like...
She's manipulating me and everybody else.
And I'm sure she's probably learning a lot of that from the gypsy chicks. We know that she's not holding down a
steady job. Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, if you... You train yourself and program yourself how to survive without making a dollar.
It's going to be manipulation.
Off the backs of other people and off of totally. Programs like food stamps and welfare and things like that. Then, you become toxic. You become trapped in the system. And, you know, unfortunately, the safety net thing doesn't exist once you turn it into a lifestyle.
And what I'm saying,
I see her going that way. And it's sad because...
I've seen her with you over the years. And,
yeah.
And I know that's not...
It's not her.
It's not her nature normally.
No, not at all.
And I think she's been.
My wife can't even stand camping, but now she's sitting in a bucket.
I think she's been in a way brainwashed by this chick.
Sure,
but I don't know what to tell you to try to win her back or anything.
Dude, you know, there's nothing I can do other than show up in September.
Yeah, just hold out and see if she comes back to you. But if she doesn't. Don't be hurt by it.
No, I'm not. You know, I'm past the point of hurt. I've done the grieving. I've done, you know, a lot of the other stuff, and I've moved on. You know, I have somebody in my life that I laid eyes on back in March, and I have not been able to forget her since. And she's two doors down from me and across the street. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I also have a friend in Florida that I knew in middle school, she was in high school, and I didn't intend for anything to happen, but when I was in Florida, you know, a week ago, for 2 weeks, there was some magic to be said there, and, yeah. You know, it's like, I feel as if I go and pursue my wife, which is the right thing to do,
yeah.
I'm throwing away opportunities here, and it really
just Well, you always do sucks. when it comes to, like, a life partner, like a wife,
right.
Like that. There's always something that you kind of have to be, like, putting to the side pretty much forever in a lot of cases.
Yeah, no doubt.
And it's I mean, it's when a I shame, met her, I had,
you know, four or five girlfriends. One had age, as soon as it sounds, dude, I haven't loved anybody.
You give up a lot, but you get a lot in return from it.
I got with this one girl when I was 16. Her name was Chelsea, and yeah. I was with her until the time I was 18. I'm sure you remember a little bit about that. I never loved anybody in between her and Crystal, my wife. I had four or five girlfriends. Each had their own purpose. You know, one was a fat chick that liked to eat. I had food. One was a girl that liked to snuggle and had the emotional connection. You know, one had drugs. You know, the other was just badass in bed. You know, it's times have changed, brother.
I mean, what I'm saying is you still have those options open on all accounts, but
I reckon,
like, you'll see what happens. A time will only tell, is all I can say.
And are there more, as far as you know, are there more people involved? Like, does the gypsy chick have a group of people she runs around with, almost like a cult type group?
I didn't observe anything when I was there. My wife is talking about a lot of stuff that's out of her character, like Buddhism, and just a lot of stuff that just seems out of character. It's hard to explain. Wicca, things like that, you know, that she normally would not have anything to do with, but
to me it sounds like a chick who has brainwashed herself and somehow wants to brainwash at least one or more people into being a part of this thing that she's doing.
Well, she's building an earth ship. Crystal is good labor.
And the whole thing is ridiculous. Apparently Crystal's
collecting food stamps in another state.
Yeah.
Which, come to find out, that's a felony, disqualifies you for 10 years. I'm not going to be the dickhead that rats her out, but
the whole thing is ridiculous.
It just says, you know, what the real values and principles are at hand here.
Well,
my mother-in-law and my father-in-law sent my wife $100 on, like, I guess it was maybe two Fridays ago.
Uh-huh.
By the time Sunday had rolled around, my wife was calling asking for more money.
Yeah.
She said that she had to give this girl Daphne, which is the gypsy bitch, as I'll refer to her as. Oh, I had to give most of that to Daphne. She's been pampering me and taking care of me.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You're building an earthship, which is supposed to be a house. That's a lot of labor involved.
She doesn't have supplies, plans,
nothing. Like, they're collecting free shit off Craigslist and probably sucking dick to get materials.
Yeah.
And I just, it's really utterly pathetic. Great concept. You know, my wife and I had talked about doing it ourselves years ago, but she's doing it now with someone else. Meanwhile, she spent the last
there's a right way she spent and a the wrong last 7 years
molding me into a person that was career oriented, goal oriented, and everything. You knew me when I first met her.
Yeah.
I didn't give a fuck, dude. I rock and roll party town all the time, played music and worked whatever and didn't really have any regard for the future. Now that's the kind of guy she would probably want.
There's a successful way to go about doing what she's trying to do, and then there's the way she's going about doing it.
Fucking hippie, you know, loser way. Sure.
Captain Steve, I feel like you're on the right. You're on the right path, though. I mean, all you can do is give it another shot.
Yeah, and that's if it. She's not after down, that, I wash my hands of the situation. I move on. I file for divorce. And
as hard as that could be, that's the only thing.
As many years as it takes for her to come back to reality.
She seems
kind
of a hollowed version of herself right now.
Definitely.
It's a classic.
And I'm not the only one saying that. You are, but also people that are out there with her right now.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like her.
No,
but
it's not at
all.
But
at the same time, you don't know if you could ever get her back the way she was.
That's absolutely right. And I'm throwing away other opportunities just simply pursuing her the way that I'm going to in September, and it sucks, but you know, we've had our moments. Certainly had an interesting relationship, if nothing else, full of passion, full of craziness on both parts. We went through what most people go through, you know, in a lifetime. We went through it in 7-8 years. It's like, what the fuck happened? Like, why are you throwing this all away? But at the same time, it's like, you know,
well, then don't be
afraid.
It's
just a learning lesson.
Like, don't.
The next one is going to be so much better if that's the case.
Don't
I would like to make it better with her.
Don't ever be afraid to move on just out of
need. Well, I'm not. You know, she would always tell me stuff like, oh, you'll be fat, bald, and 40. You know what? I might be chubby.
Well, fuck her.
I might be chubby, bald, and 28, but,
yeah.
You know, the last 2.5 weeks, I'm biting myself in the dick right here, but I've got more pussy.
Saying that,
more pussy and more action than I have in 8 years.
That's just a spiteful, fucking mean thing to say.
It is. It's brutal. I would never tell her shit like that. But the truth, the reality of the situation is, she's never been in a relationship longer than a year and some change, and I feel bad for that guy. she's a handful, emotionally, spiritually, physically. It's hard to hang on to her, and
oh yeah,
she's not a funny guy.
I've seen some of your hardest times, for real. I don't know if you remember them, but like when you were living
in the city, yeah,
you know.
And you and Whitney came and picked me up when I was at one of my lowest lows ever.
I think you were at one of your worst periods I've ever seen you at, because you didn't even remember what you had done the day before.
Right.
And it was all because of the pills you had been taking.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Steve used to hammer out some pills.
I mean,
and had a doctor that she had got me in with, actually.
Yeah, I think you're doing way better, and
we'll never get back
to that point.
No, not at all. I've been sober, you know, off hard drugs and things like that for over a month now.
Yeah.
And I'm finding some clarity and some inner strength that I didn't realize that I had.
But even the hard drugs you were doing recreationally a month ago were nothing compared to the pills you were popping.
No, that, and I didn't have a consistent everyday habit.
Yeah.
You know, it was something that was there whenever things were tough. You know, just like you have a drink when you have a bad day.
Yeah.
I have not had a habit in 4 years.
Yeah.
At least.
I think you're doing great, man.
Thanks, bro. That means a lot to me.
I hope the best for the situation. I hope the best for you, whatever the situation may end up being. But, I'm not gonna tell you.
I have a gut feeling and I have a heart feeling, but
I'm not gonna try to tell you to get rid of her.
Right.
But
it's funny, her friends.
I'm not gonna tell you to hold on.
Sure.
Either, you know, it's you got to do what you feel is right, and I think you know how things, like, you don't know how things are gonna turn out, but I think you know how things are going to work out best for you, and I think you're going to follow that path.
And yeah. If I can jump in for a second, too, just being a complete outsider on this, I mean, I've pretty much been taking the back seat and letting you guys hash out problems as being friends for nearly 12 years. That's one of the cool things about having a podcast, is I can be a fly on the wall and sit on some of these real deal conversations.
And we appreciate
that. Only such good friends could have.
Right.
But just from hearing what you've said, I mean, My opinion as being an outsider, you have a remarkably clear mind on this entire situation.
Thank you.
You're not letting a lot of anger or bullshit get in the way of doing the right thing.
I was.
Right.
You know, it's a process.
Well, and everybody does, but you're not being fueled
by
anger.
She fucked me over before she left. I'm trying to let go of that and just realize that what it is what it is. And, you know, she has some issues and some things that she's not aware of, and the things that she did before she left, she's not aware of. And she cries, tells me she didn't mean to do this to me. I have to take that in consideration, along with other things, and it's hard to keep a clear head. You know, my biggest problem is when I go home tonight, which I'm probably crashing his place, but when I make it home eventually, it's that quiet time, being surrounded by all of our 8 years of being together, all of our, you know, things we've acquired, her decorating style, even her smells. I still smell around my house, her perfume and stuff like that.
The hardest thing is coming across, like, the old gifts and stuff.
In the pictures. Those are the hard times. When I'm hanging out with my buddies, or I'm hanging out with a new girl or something, you know, there's an emptiness to be found, but it's nothing like when I end up home tonight or tomorrow and I'm by myself, surrounded by the mess that she left when she left. And her possessions, her smells, and her ideas about life. And just, I don't understand how things could drastically change in the course of 4 nights. It's fucked up. It's on her. It's a symptom of her mental illness. And if it's not, then that means she is somebody that I didn't realize who she was. And that's absolutely fucking disgusting. And I've wasted 8 years of my life, which is a good chunk of my youth, from 20 to 28. I'm sorry, but you know what? That's fucked up.
It is, and it sounds to me like it's just a classic case of somebody running with the wrong crowd.
Yeah.
And I think that had a lot to do with...
I could have been running with the wrong crowd, too, though.
Yeah, but you're not as impressionable.
No, some people. I've always had a firm ground on who I am and what I'm doing in life. The only person that's been able to influence that or manipulate that whatsoever is the woman that I call my soulmate. And she spent 8 years telling me we'll never be done. We're soulmates. We're together forever. Where does that leave me? It leaves me to pick up her mess, the pieces that she left behind, and rebuild myself and rediscover myself. Those are two positive attributes of the situation. I'm getting back to where I was when I met her. I'm getting back into music. I'm getting back into working out. I'm getting back into shape. And I'm learning things that I like about life that she probably could not absolutely fucking stand.
There's no reason you can't find balance for those things.
No, I know. I was young, dude. She basically met a kid. And married this kid. She asked me to marry her. I didn't ask her to marry me.
But you put a lot of stuff aside to be sure. married to her.
And sure.
I think at this point, you can kind of balance the way you want to live your life with the way you got to live with her.
Well, I'm finding things about myself that I didn't realize. And some stuff she said, some things she just didn't have any idea of. I don't know how I can make that work in a marriage, but I know I could, given the room and the opportunity. So, like I said, the end game here, show up in September, our anniversary of marriage is September 22nd. Show up in fucking Bozeman, Montana. It's going to be fucking ice cold already. And just try to remind her what we had and, take her out on a date, see what's up, see if, the fire might not be there for me anymore after all this damage.
Sure. I think at that point, it would be a good time to show up. If she if she hasn't already found her way back to you by then.
And that may happen as well.
Yeah.
Before I understand things are diminishing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But, if she doesn't give me what I want, the validation of things that I want at that point, I'm going to be the dickhead that says, you know what, I'm sorry, I'll continue to pay your phone bill. If you absolutely need something, give me a call. But otherwise, you had your chance as my friend. You left me in the dark. You treated me like shit. You have me blocked on Facebook. And you've had your chance as my queen, princess, goddess, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And you walked away.
Yeah.
You're the one that can't hold down a job. You don't have a car. You don't have a place to live. You're the one calling home asking for money. Not for me anymore.
She's going to have to do some self-evaluation before any of this shit's going to make sense to her.
Right. I'm sure. That could be 2 years down the road, but
yeah,
she's going to call me one day.
Yeah.
And she's going to realize what we had was something unique and special in this universe. And, I hope that I haven't moved on too far at that point to take her back, because I love her beyond retardedness. I mean, I love this woman just so much night and day that sometimes I think that no matter what I have going on, that she could just flash her ass in front of me or bat those eyes at me, and I would drop everything I have for her. Yeah. And that's a shitty position to be in.
For sure.
What if I move on and get married to someone else? And then she comes back around, which kind of reminds me of an old friend of mine, Natalie. When she found out I was getting married, she called me up one day and was like, "How dare you fucking get married? You know what you really want is right here, and you need to get out here and see me."
That's rough, man. And
it was brutal.
And that's something that's not beyond the realm of possibility either. Right. I wonder how do you think? Well, I guess it's hard to say what the state that you're in right now, being in love. But how could you see that panning out if you fell in love with someone else and then she came back around before you got married?
Yeah, I don't even know what to think about that situation. Never been in it.
Try not to, man. Just put that out of your mind.
But at the same time, I realize that it's almost inevitable.
It may be, but I mean, you don't want to have to deal with those demons until they come around.
Yeah. For real. I mean, right now, I'm being a complete dick and throwing away some opportunities just because these girls know that, hey, come September, sorry, but I'm going to give it all I got. Yeah. You might be sidelined. And it really sucks, but you have to pursue what you really feel in your heart. Yeah. And what I really still feel in my heart right now is that woman is my soulmate. Regardless of what she tells me right now, That's not her talking. That's, you know, circumstances, mental illness, and problems she's running away from. But you know, a person I was going to try to meet tonight, you know, before 9 o'clock. She's been there for me since day one with this whole situation. And she's basically said, hey, you're the fucking dumbass that's still talking about being hung up on your wife. And I don't know if I'm going to be available for you down the road because of that. That's some deep shit.
It kind of is, but you don't want to put too much weight on what she is to you either.
Yeah, and I understand that, and I recognize it, but it is what it is. You know, I'm a romantic type, I'm a lover, and, you know, I like to have that girl in my life that I treat like an absolute queen. And it's so hard to find that kind of emotional, intellectual connection.
There's way more missed opportunity in everything than there will ever be things that work out right.
Yeah. I mean, there's an awesome girl in Florida, and there's an awesome girl right here, you know, two doors down from me. It's, what am I doing with my life that has steered me so clear?
There's a million fish in the sea, man.
That's what they say, dude, but I've never had an emotional or intellectual connection with anyone else.
Well, you're following your heart.
You haven't even given that time. You know?
No, I know. There's definitely a time factor.
And do you know how,
and things like that.
And how retarded it is when you first start seeing somebody. Like, you're both strangers, you know? Like, if you go into a new relationship, you're not yourself.
No.
You're not, and she's not herself.
Right.
If you start something new with somebody else, I mean, there's definitely room for a connection. It's just,
there is room. I don't even know how to meet chicks. I was always the kind of guy that was shy and introverted, and I didn't have game. You know, I just relied on being myself, and, you know, they say nice guys finish last, but they also usually finish best. So,
good point.
I'm not the guy that's going around a bar like, hey, baby, what's going on? I guess I could be, but that's just not me. And I guess because of that, I kind of wait for people to come into my life and opportunities to come into my life. And I guess I missed out on a few things, but really, am I missing out if it's fly by night? If it's something that I had to alter myself and my goals and my persona and my ethics for? Is it, am I really missing out? I don't know.
Well, I don't think so, but that's just me. I feel like you've gone deeper than a lot of other people have, and I think maybe a lot of other people are missing out that they can't experience such a love or a relationship with another human.
Right.
So.
I don't know, and I'm done talking about it.
Well, that's fine, because
thanks for listening, guys.
Hey, man, guess what? We're out of time anyways.
Right on.
But it worked out. It worked out perfect.
Therapy.
Kenny, I want to thank you for coming back, as always. I want to thank you for introducing me to Captain Steve here.
Well, man. Rock and roll party time.
Rock and roll party time.
Yeah.
All right.
Got to start doing some more of those little special get-together recording type.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, dude, I mean, if I end up out here and done with the session that I'm in, I could definitely contribute regularly.
Well, I would at least like to hear the outcome of the saga that you got going on, for sure.
It's a fucking love story, no doubt.
It is. But yeah, so we'll keep in touch. Hit us up at CompleteSentencesPod@gmail.com. Any fun stuff like that? And any closing words, Kenny?
CSP is the shizzle.
All right.
Thanks for having me out, guys.
And now another nugget of everyday wisdom with Kenny Many Killer.
Dude, do you ever think about how amazing it is that on this rock hurling thousands of miles an hour through space, that's through some millions of years of existence, the miracle of life would ever exist in so many beautiful forms, all existing symbiotically? And then the girl who works at the drive-thru at McDonald's, who talks to herself loudly, says, I don't like you, and puts everything in the perspective of a troubled teenager who probably was molested by her grandparents while her mom and dad shot meth in a truck stop diner restroom. But I mean, it's not just me, man. I mean, have you ever been like combing your hair, looked in the mirror, and just thought, who am I doing this for?
And that was another piece of Everyday Wisdom with Kenny Many Killer.
So there it is, guys. The love saga of Captain Steve. You know, I really wish him the best. He's a good dude, and I hope that everything works out for him. And I hope that he keeps us in touch with what's going on and comes back and lets us know what goes on in Montana come September, whether or not they get back together, whether or not she stays with the gypsy chick. Just keep us informed on it. And again, Captain Steve, thank you so much for spilling your heart to us, and we wish you nothing but the best. I know this episode's a little bit shorter than normal, but you know, this episode kind of has its own legs, and it's doing its own thing. So we're gonna just end it. I can't really see keeping it going any longer, but I'm happy with it. I'm happy with the way it turned out, man. The next episode, we're gonna have author Chad Thomas Johnston on, writer of Nightmarriage and contributor to several websites. He's a good guy. He's from Lawrence, Kansas, and I'm gonna sit and talk with him a little bit about his writing career and about life in general. So check that out. That'll be the next episode whenever this one gets released. But until then, guys, just take care of yourselves, and I don't know, man. Figure it out.